welcome to another episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast, where we talk all things health, wellness, longevity, and of course, biohacking. I'm your host, Jenny Jones, and today we're exploring the fascinating world of regenerative medicine with Dr. Clement Lee. Dr. Lee runs a cutting-edge clinic in Pasadena, California, where he helps patients heal and optimize their health through advanced treatments like stem cells, exosomes, peptides, and more. In this episode, we'll discuss his journey from the conventional medicine to a functional approach, the benefits of regenerative therapies for chronic illnesses and injuries, and how innovative treatments like neural therapy, photodynamic therapy, and cannabinoid IVs are transforming patient outcomes. Get ready to learn how regenerative medicine might be the future of proactive healthcare. Are you looking for a convenient and effective way to experience the benefits of peptides without the need for injections? Look no further than Level Up Health, my go-to brand for meticulously stacked oral peptides designed for maximum benefit. Their offerings include powerful options like liver support, gut repair, and BPC-157, and they just launched their latest innovation, Neuro Regenerate, perfect for supporting brain health and cognitive function. Whether you're at home or traveling, these oral peptide stacks provide a hassle-free solution to boost your wellness journey. Ready to try them out? Head over to levelup.health.com, that is levelup health.com, and use the code BIOHACKERBLONDIE, that is BIOHACKERBLONDIE, yes, just with an I, at checkout to receive 10% discount. The details and links will also be available in the show notes. Don't miss out this opportunity to elevate your health with Level Up Health's premium peptide stacks. Hey, well, welcome to another episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast. I'm really excited about this one because I love speaking to doctors that are working with patients all the time. It's so important because you get to see, you know, patients' labs and see what's working for the majority of people and what doesn't work. Well, Dr. Clement Lee, you have a clinic in Pasadena here in California.
Yes.
You work with all regenerative medicine. So give us a little background of how you got into this space, how you got out of like the typical doctor at the hospital and started working with patients at a functional level.
Sure. Well, actually, I started off in the realm of just natural medicine. So actually during school, it was naturopathic medicine, so we already started from that get-go. We didn't get into the conventional medicine, although we were taught some of it, but really we had the foundation already in the realm of functional medicine. And initially I was interested in treating people for pain related conditions, and that's what prompted me to, you know, start with the regenerative medicine aspect of things, starting off with prolotherapy and then also like foundational nutrition, hormones support. And then started getting more advanced into treating like chronic illnesses along the way. So it was just people that came to me that needed help. We started seeing patients that have Lyme disease, mold, autoimmune conditions. And so we started incorporating, you know, more advanced therapies, you know, certain IVs, peptides, and then incorporating stem cell exosomes and stem cells for the treatment of both regenerative side as well as the chronic illness side of things. And just expanded further to people that are already healthy, how do you stay healthy for the longer haul? And so we have, you know, more therapeutics that can apply for the people to get them out of the sickest situations to the people that are already healthy, just making sure that they stay healthy in the long run. So it's the wide gamut of things that we really focus on here.
Yeah. I'm hoping, you know, in the future, most people will be proactive and think about longevity and ways to, you know, stay away from disease, stay away from autoimmune or injuries as well. And so we can be really preventative. I think it's super important. So it's good to hear that people are coming to you wanting to optimize their health instead of waiting till the last minute and saying, okay, now I have this issue. Can you fix this? You know? And I think, you know, I just want to get out there that most people think, you know, just medication is the answer. And you're a small majority of doctors that are really, you know, pushing for regenerative medicine, for really healing the root cause. And I think a lot of people need to understand that there are ways to get to the root cause, heal, and it's going to save you more money and time in the long run. So This is so great. So you work with a lot of patients. What do most of the patients come to you for? What do you see as kind of the typical?
So I have, again, multiple sides of the spectrum, but a good chunk of patients see me for chronic mystery illness, as we would call it. But it's, realm of Lyme, mold, systemic infections or stealth infections to, toxicity, heavy metal, chemical, leading to certain variations of autoimmune or dysautonomia. So there's that cluster, let's say the chronically ill. And then there's a good majority of them that's also just geared towards regenerative medicine. So those who have, acute or chronic pain that want to resolve it naturally through the regenerative side of things. And then also those who are dealing with just regular family medicine illnesses or issues like, GI issues, diabetes, cholesterol, weight issues. And then the functional side, like those who are into longevity and biohacking, like we see those populations as well too. Although those are those are my passions. I love it too, because everything I tell my patients I'm doing myself. But those people are a little smaller, subset of the population, because not many people are into it yet. Although it's, your demographic, there's a lot of people that are definitely trending into it and they love this stuff. But I say we see a wide spectrum of things. So I can't say there's just one, one type of population.
So if someone comes to you, most people have gut issues, I feel. Mm-hmm. Do you see gut issues as pretty common in most patients?
Yes. I mean, even the healthy people, they have a little bit of gut issues that they just, normalize. Mm-hmm. But definitely the sicker they are, the more prevalent their gut issues are. So we see a lot of them now, ranging from parasites, SIBO, to autoimmune gut issues, the really severe stuff here.
What about H. pylori?
I see it a lot of times. Everybody.
That's what I actually just tested for that, because I've had it before. Yeah. I'm strong antibiotics, but this was years ago before I really got into biohacking and longevity. And so now I was like, you know what? I'm going to retest, because I felt like since I went to Mexico and so I tested positive. ChatGPT'd how many people have it in the US. It's 40-50%. And I'm okay, isn't this?
Or more. It's more. It's probably a lot more, but it's just undiagnosed or some clinical, So
I would say the majority has H. pylori. Everyone out there, what would you suggest for H. pylori?
Wow. So H. pylori in many different ways. From the extreme, multiple antibiotic course to integration with peptides, vitamins, herbs, just sometimes natural support. So I would say some people that are asymptomatic with H. pylori, you got to think about why it's not ours. A lot of it just deals with their stress load. If they're stressed, their immune system is, not keeping up with things, and then they'll start developing symptoms to it. Versus those who don't get stressed or don't have that impact of stress on their nervous system, they can live with H. pylori and never really notice any symptoms. So
would it be drilling in your gut though? Doesn't that parasite drill holes in the gut?
It's a bacteria, but it can. So your bacteria it balances in the stomach is a little bit different from the rest of the intestinal tract. But yes, H. pylori, if it's non-disturbed, it really may not cause too many issues. It's when it starts, taking advantage of the immune system and it starts then overgrowing is when you'll start getting the reflux symptoms and, pain and indigestion issues and more severe issues like nervous system issues and ulcers too.
Looking to boost your longevity and support your body's natural vitality? Look no further than Particular Supplements, my trusted source for top quality longevity supplements. Their NMN is my go-to for enhancing energy levels, promoting better mitochondrial function, and supporting healthy aging. For additional support, they offer TMG to enhance methylation and protect DNA, and quercetin for its powerful antioxidant properties to combat oxidative stress and inflammation. Particular's range of supplements also include Physatin for cellular rejuvenation and Spermidine for autophagy support. making it easier to maintain optimal health at every stage of life. I only put the best in my body, which is why I choose Particulars Clean Supplements, free from fillers, additives, or artificial ingredients, ensuring the highest quality and effectiveness. Ready to elevate your health journey? Visit Particular.com and use my special discount code BHB at checkout for 10% off your order. Details are also available in the show notes below. Give your body the best with Particular and start living a healthier, more vibrant life today.
So I tend to just kind of see where the patients are at. If they're dealing with definitely gut issues and, you know, acid reflux, burning, or fatigue, you know, those definitely warrant treatment. Although there's also a timing for it too, because I treat patients that have Lyme, mold, parasites, H. pylori, heavy metals. So there's a timing for it. So it's not like you get jump straight into it, although they could, but they would probably suffer along the way. So it just depends on the type of patients that we see, but it's definitely warranted at some time. And then from my experience with H. pylori too, is like when I first started, like, you know, there's some protocols for treating H. pylori. You follow them, you know, you get some success and then some don't get better, or some needs to keep going on forever and ever. So we've kind of figured out there's layers to this. And so working on their stress, their other infectious loads, will allow them to be more efficient at, you know, being able to clear out the H. pylori too.
Yeah. So you do a lot of, we'll go, I just wanted to ask the question.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But I know you work with, you know, quite a bit of extensive of like regenerative medicine with like stem cells, exosomes. Yeah. And so we'll get into that because I think people, you know, are really starting to see how healing stem cells are, exosomes are for the body, for the brain. And so especially with pain management, I think is a huge thing. And I believe you do a joint therapy. Yeah. Which I think a lot of people have issues with. And once you have pain, you know, I can only imagine, but it's just, the, you know, as a woman with cramps, and then if you have some type of pain 24/7, you know, it's very detrimental to your life. And so what do you typically do for joint pain and regenerative medicine? And I would love to know more of what kind of stem cells you use and how, like, sure. If you stack with those stem cells and
oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So tell sure. us a little bit about how you would go about that.
Got it. So when people usually come in to me for pain related issues, there's usually an underlying issue, which is just the connective tissue integrity issues, where it's damaged, torn, strained, sprained. And it's most commonly it's tendon and ligament involved. Sometimes it's muscle as well. Sometimes it's bone. Sometimes it's fascia. But most commonly when people have like a sprained knee or sprained shoulder or rotator cuff tear, for example, those are injuries to the connective tissues that are supposed to stabilize that joint. So in a perfect world, the body is going to try to heal itself. But unfortunately, with the tendon ligament type of tissue, it's avascular, so there's no blood supply feeding into it. So after the original injury, it may heal to sometimes 80-90%, but the body thinks it's done. And so then you still may have some lingering pain, may not bother you that much, but then over time, there's this further wear and tear upon that joint tissue until it finally degrades further enough to kind of prompt you to come in to do something about it. In the conventional realm, they usually use like steroids or pain medications just to mask the pain. They don't really promote any healing directly. Versus the regenerative side of things is we use these regenerative medicines. So it can start off with something as simple as prolotherapy, which is just injection of dextrose. It's just concentrated sugar into the joint. And then those are basically the simple mechanism by which we are, you know, using PRP and then stem cells therefore. But basically the injection of sugar is an irritant that tells the body that it's injured so that it can recruit its own stem cells and its local cells in the area to start repairing the tissue further from wherever it left off. You know, the injury could be 10, 20 years ago, it could be, you know, last week, but basically the healing may have, you know, subsided or plateaued to a point previously. So what we're doing with the injections is we're getting the body to start over again. So then we have other type of therapy.
You're injecting sugar?
Sugar, yeah. So sugar is the initial, like, it's basically one of the old school therapy. So prolotherapy is almost 100 years old at this point. But it's basically that knowledge base is what we're using to add in other things now. So nowadays, I use Prolozone as kind of our core starting baseline therapy, which is, you know, still a little bit of dextrose, anesthesia, vitamins, and then ozone is the major irritant. So the ozone goes in the area. It's reactive oxygen, so it injures the tissues enough so that it mounts up an immune response, but at the same time, it leaves behind oxygen to the tissue, so it further feeds it along the way. And it's recruiting your own existing cellular signals, which could include some of your platelets and your, you know, stem cells to that area. So when you add in other things like, you know, PRP, which is you're just concentrating the platelets, so you're getting more growth factors in the area via the injection, you're just getting a, you know, larger influx of stimulation. And then now you add in stem cells. Stem cells are just growth, you know, further manufacturers of growth factors that you inject in there that have a higher capability of what they can produce versus what your existing cells might. So that's why you get like even faster healing with the stem cells and stem cell exosomes now. But the concept is just based, the concept is just based on just telling the body to go in there and focus on the injury site.
Yeah, exactly. I know. And for anyone who doesn't know, can you just give a little quick explanation of stem cells and how they know to go to certain areas of healing as well? Because I think that's how you're stacking these things, is we're saying, here is the inflammation, here is where things are not working. And then the stem cells go in and they just know that they need to go to that area to heal.
Sure. So the stem cells, they really work via communication. So the stem cells themselves are not doing the healing. It's their exosomes that the stem cells are producing that are releasing little balls of information that can include like proteins, extra, you know, signaling molecules, peptides that float around into the periphery, and then they're picked up by the cells that are also crying for help too. So your existing cells that are injured are also releasing exosomes too, and they're actually relaying information. So these messages are basically going in and homing into where there's an injury site. So essentially, when you're putting in stem cells, you're putting in batteries of cells that can create more copies of themselves, but also create more exosomes, which are information for your cells to know what to do with. So the thing is, there's exosomes from different types of cells. There's good exosomes and bad exosomes too. Like cancer cells have low exosomes too. So this type of stem cells that we're using are derived from healthy umbilical cord tissue. So these cell lines are usually unadulterated and they're healthiest and they are most vibrant in their healing. And so when they're put into, you know, another individual, this could be even animals too, they're just kind of more like universal generators of these signaling molecules that are just telling the body what to do.
Are you ready to step up your health game? I'm excited to share an exclusive offer from Vivo Barefoot, the pioneers in barefoot footwear designed to bring you closer to nature and improve your overall well-being. Vivo Barefoot shoes are crafted to promote natural movement, enhance your posture, and strengthen your feet. Whether you're hitting the trails, the gym, or just walking around town, these shoes are the perfect companion for your biohacking journey. And the best part, as a Biohacker Blondie listener, you get an exclusive 10% off your purchase with the special discount code BHB. Just enter BHB at checkout and enjoy the benefits of barefoot living. Ready to take the next step? Head over to the link in the show notes or visit biohackerblondie.com to grab your pair of Vivo Barefoot shoes today. Your feet will thank you. I also want to share with you my favorite skincare brand, Young Goose. I recently had an amazing conversation with the founder, Emma Tay, on the podcast, and I can't stop raving about their incredible product line. Young Goose is the number one biohacking skincare brand, and for good reason. Their products are designed to work at the cellular level, providing unparalleled results. I love every product in their line, from their serums to their moisturizers. Everything is formulated with the highest quality ingredients and innovative technology. And here's something special for my listeners. Young Goose has generously provided a discount code just for you. Use the code BHB10 at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. Make sure to check the show notes for the link and the code. Treat your skin to the best biohacking skincare out there with Young Goose and experience the transformation for yourself.
So say I have a shoulder injury, I come to you and you're going to do a stack of some ozone, some things like sugar, and some stem cells and some peptides. Yeah. Are you doing all of that through an IV or are you injecting?
preferably injection. So, you know, there's some patients that, you know, averse to getting injections. So if you do an IV, the IV could help. I mean, I've seen patients do no direct injections and they still recovered pretty reasonably well from some of their joint related issues. The thing is, if there's an ongoing inflammatory process of that joint, those local cells are actually crying for help. So if you do an IV, they might actually get there. But when we do the injections, we're creating a larger signaling process for that joint. So they're actually going to recruit more cellular activity to that area. And also, if you put stem cells directly into the joint, they're going to start off there. So they're going to have their most impact directly where you inject. So
are you injecting ozone?
Yes. So we inject ozone as kind of like a further targeting agent for the stem cells. So essentially, like, you know, the cool thing about it is, like, if you do IV stem cells or exosomes and you inject ozone into the, you know, other part of the joint, they're actually more likely to go there because the body has created a new injury, which is signaling activity from everywhere else to migrate to that region. So it's a way of targeting things. You could target it with laser, you could target it with other things, but like ozone is safe and very effective for this process.
Yeah, I didn't think of that for like healing an injury, but it completely makes sense. Which peptides do you like to use for healing an injury?
For joint-related peptides, I usually use BPC, TB500, MGF, copper, GHK, pentosan. They all have slightly different benefits. They all can be stacked together. So those are like more directly for the joint itself. And then, you know, if budget allows for the patient, we also add in like growth hormone-releasing peptides like MGF1, LR3, or CDC, Amarelin, Somerolin. Those are really good because you're just getting which helps with, you know, healing and issue too.
And are you injecting those or do you have the patient go home and then also do like a protocol?
Yeah, I usually do a little bit of both. We also, I inject it locally whenever I can. And then sometimes if necessary, I'll also give the patients to take home. Just kind of like flood the area with some peptides directly in the site. Give the patients for them to have systemic use afterwards. Some of the, like, there's clinical data showing that it doesn't really matter, but anecdotal data, I'd say like local injections do make a bigger difference when they are injected.
Yeah. So what you do, since I know back injuries are really common, do you see a lot of back injuries? And is that something that can be truly healing with stem cells?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I see a good majority of the regenerative cases for back issues. So the benefit of these treatments is that we generate the connective tissue. So what holds a lot of the bones together in the body, or pretty much all the bones together in the body, are a series of connective tissues, which are typically ligaments. So when the ligaments are nice and taut, they're going to help hold up your structures. So when they're held up properly, you're going to resist gravity and not have your other secondary resources working too hard. For example, for the low back, if it's structurally unstable, the muscles have to work a lot harder to stabilize it. So you get muscle spasm or pain. It can come and go, but sometimes those muscle spasms are pretty gnarly. So if you can restore the underlying structures by regenerating those ligaments, then you're going to be able to resist gravity and then the muscles don't have to overfire. So you can actually really heal, you know, someone's back pain, truly.
Yeah, I think so. You know, even my grandma, she had back surgery when she was, I don't know, 80 or some in her late 70s, and it really just took a toll on her body because. And I think for most people who have back surgery, there's a lot of complications. So this is really amazing to look at a different way to heal a back injury than go to surgery because. It can be, I've seen it go, you know, not the right way many times. And then you're on pain medication for the rest of your life. And it's, you know, so it's really cool. The whole stem cells and what, you know, it's for the future of regenerating our bodies. So
yeah, definitely.
So you also got into resetting the nervous system as well, right? Yeah. So that's something you're doing a lot of. And I think do you see a lot of patients coming in with anxiety and just all this stuff going on, you know?
Yeah. Well, first of all, who doesn't have any stress? So we all have a level of stress. Some people how I hide it better. Some people handle it better. But in reality is like when you have enough stress, your nervous system has to respond. And if it's constantly having to respond, it can kind of get burnt out too. So, you know, when it comes to true healing, healing usually happens when the body's calmed, relaxed, you know, in a more like parasympathetic state. How many people can you say are always, you know, managing their parasympathetic state well enough? And you know, the problem is if you're in a high stress environment or you have injuries, that puts your body typically more in a sympathetic state, which is the fight or flight mode. And it's then harder to heal because your body's more in a catabolic state. So it's, you know, it's very interesting with these type of therapies, you know, even talking about regenerative therapies, you know, if a person is expected to heal when you're putting in stem cells and stuff like that too. But if their body's stressed out, you know, the stem cells may not work that well in that type of environment. So this is where adding in things that can directly influence the nervous system to have it actually calm down will get you the best, you know, healing potential. So that's kind of where this is really, really neat. Like not very many things can influence the nervous system as quickly as an injection into the nerves. And so like with these type of therapies called neural therapy, we're injecting a local anesthesia, procaine, for example. Other ones can be used too, but procaine is like the safest and has a shorter half-life. But what you're actually doing is when you're injecting the anesthesia to the nerves, it gives it a chance to kind of reboot itself. So when the nerve gets a chance to reset, it starts firing properly again, or sometimes it just needs to reset so it can run efficiently and re-affect the way it fires. So that way it can then go back to normal. Kind of the best analogy I can give you is like when your computer is running for a while, like if you haven't restarted in a while, it runs slower. And same thing with the nerves. If you're starting achieving too many things or there's too much inputs, then you kind of get frazzled or it doesn't work as efficiently. So if you get a chance to kind of downregulate it and get it reset, it can then start working properly.
Have you done this on yours? Is this the ganglion block? Is that what it's called?
So it's one of the type of therapies. So the stellate ganglia is probably the most popular, well-known one. The stellate ganglia is a ganglia that controls more of the sympathetic nervous system. So people who are like more in fight or flight dominant and have PTSD and trauma, that one's an amazing treatment. Like that's why people sometimes only do that one and they still get amazing results. But that's only one side of the coin. So that's like your sympathetic side. The vagus nerve, for example, can also be treated too. So the vagus is what's controlling more of your parasympathetic nervous system. But sometimes you need to address, you know, the gamut of nerves because there's different nerves that innervate different functions. So for example, some like innervate the GI tract, the heart, the lungs, the eyes, the nose. So you could technically treat a good chunk of these nerves. But yeah, what you're doing is just giving them a chance to recalibrate.
Yeah. Would this be, so do most people try this out that have anxiety or panic attacks? Is this something that would be very beneficial for someone?
It'd be very beneficial. Like sometimes, you may hear cases that people one treatment and they have reset like a good chunk of their lifetime of stress. Sometimes it lasts, sometimes it doesn't last, but it really gives the brain a chance to quiet down a little bit. So like I've had some cases so far where they've had like anxiety all their life. And after, you know, an injection, their brain is finally quiet. You know, they don't have these background thoughts. You know, not everybody gets that experience, but sometimes it's pretty dramatic when it occurs. But it's like kind of the analogy with the reset of the computer. Sometimes you have to reboot it once or twice or a few times to kind of get the end result. So it depends.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, for a lot of people who are probably on some type of anxiety medication, I think it's worth it to try because I know these anxiety medications or even like depression medications, it really can change a lot of things in the body and make you kind of numb or cause other like, you know, issues, libido or any of those things. So it's like, you know, looking at these other ways to maybe heal the issue instead of going to medication is so important. And it also causes deficiencies with these medications. I can go on and on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's why I love this type of treatment because it's very simple, non-toxic, and it works. And actually, like U.S. is kind of not as popular for neurotherapy, but like in South America, Europe, it's like it's sometimes a standard of care or staple in their medicine because it's so cheap and then it saves the government a lot of money. So patients don't have to be suffering or being stuck on medications for forever.
I know. It's like maybe, these things cost more maybe up front, but in the long run, 5 years of medications or, arthritis.
Yeah.
I know like these medications are so expensive. I was just at Eudaimonia and they were talking to one of the top like people in the pharmaceutical industry. And it's just like, why are these so expensive compared to, Europe? And,
Yeah.
It's very expensive to be on medication too. So it's like pay now and get to the root cause instead of
Yeah.
so much every year for that
Definitely,
medication.
yeah.
What are your, do you ever use TMS, transcranial magnetic therapy?
I don't. I had some patients try it. I mean, some benefit, some didn't. So I'm not really partial to it.
Yeah. So what else are you doing in the clinic that's like kind of like a new and regenerative therapy that
Okay.
you're looking?
Yeah. So adding into like the regenerative treatments, we also use the laser. So I think you're familiar with the Weber laser devices,
Yeah.
which is a intravenous or intra-articular even injection of the laser. So we stack a lot of our IV protocols and our regenerative treatments with light. So there's effect on like photobiomodulation, getting light into the cells, and even photodynamic therapy, where we're adding in various nutrients or agents that enhance the absorption of different light frequencies. So there's some really cool stuff in using light to enhance, for example, stem cell activity. So this is, some of our standard protocols when we're doing stem cells or exosomes is, we'll start off with some ozone into the system. We'll do the stem cells, and then we photoactivate it with light. So there's different frequencies of light that have been, like, there's a published literature that shows it increases the doubling time of the stem cells. So if you have light activating the stem cells, they speed up their growth. So you end up getting more stem cells and more signaling factors after that. So that's the cool thing about, adding its light to these things. As well as, I'll let you finish first.
With the laser, what exactly are you
Yeah.
doing for people that are listening? Are you putting that laser, after the stem cells on a certain body part? Are you putting the laser in before you're injecting?
Sure. So we can do it many different ways, but for the example, if we're doing an IV of stem cells, we put the laser in the vein after the stem cells are in the system. So all
Okay.
the stem cells that are floating in the periphery get activated by the light. Because basically the laser device works, but there's a fiber optic cable that can get inserted into a catheter in the vein. So that fiber optic cable is literally sitting inside the lumen of the vein. So then as the blood passes through it, it's being activated by the different frequencies of light. So in a matter of minutes, your entire circulation of blood gets lit up with the light. So all the cells that are floating around, they also see the light too. So that's one of the ways of administering the laser that way. The other way we're for like joint related issues, like for example, for a knee, is after we inject the stem cells or whatever we inject into the knee, we could actually thread a fiber optic cable through that needle as well. So we can leave the needle in kind of like acupuncture, and then that fiber optic cable is sitting inside the joint, and then we shine the light, and that light gets directly into the joint. So it's very powerful stuff because, you're familiar with like red light. A lot of people like love red light. Red light is great. The penetration is about 4 centimeters or so deep. So it can get into the joint sometimes. If there's bone, maybe not be able to pass through. But other frequencies of light, for example, like yellow, green, blue, UV, they don't penetrate the skin. So you can't really get it into the joint. But if you're adding it through this, fiber optic cable, or you're able to actually directly influence the cells in the area. And there's some studies that show like different frequencies of light enhance like cartilage regeneration or stem cell activation or just inflammatory moderation besides our usual like red and infrared lights that we can use topically.
Okay, so you're really doing
it's
all
really,
the...
Yeah, it's really neat stuff. I mean, I barely scratched the surface with like the photodynamic therapy is another really cool thing. So if you have the time, I'll talk about that too, because this is where it's very helpful for not just for regenerative medicine, but really for treating like chronic illnesses and chronic infections and cancer and stuff like that too.
Yeah, please. I think a lot of people have chronic infections and I don't know if this is also for autoimmune, but I know a lot of people.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Well, I mean, for autoimmune, like there's various triggers, one of those being infections or toxins. So the infection side, like it can be relatively straightforward treated if you use some of these therapies. But so we're talking about laser in the realm of using something called like photodynamic therapy, which is you're using a photosensitizing agent. So this could be as simple as like vitamin B2 or riboflavin, or, you know, your listeners probably familiar with methylene blue, the very popular, like, you know, blue dye. They're very photosensitive. So they actually can absorb photons of light more efficiently than other things. So when you are doing the therapies with photodynamic therapy, for example, you're putting in methylene blue, it could be oral, it could be IV, and then you activate it by light in the cells. So you could use, in this case, if we have the fiber optic cable in the vein and you get IV methylene blue beforehand, all the methylene blue that's getting absorbed by your red blood cells or by other cells or even by microbes, they're forced to absorb more light than sometimes they normally would. So in your healthy cells, they can handle the red light. They have antioxidant capacity, so they can handle all the energy that comes in. But for bacterial and viral organisms, they don't have the antioxidant capacity. So when they're absorbing more light, they're actually getting oxidized in the presence of all the oxygen in your body. So they're actually getting destroyed upon contact with the light. So you're selectively targeting, you know, various pathogens without harming your existing cells. At the same time, you're supercharging your existing cells. So you actually end up neutralizing a lot of the unwanted things in the body and then healing your body at the same time. So
do you see a quick trigger? Like when someone comes in and does this therapy, is it like, you know, right away, or do they have to do like quite a few of these therapies?
It really depends. Some people, they feel it like immediately or usually overnight. Some people, they need several treatments to move the needle. But the cases that like respond typically really well are those that are already reasonably healthy, but have like a minor issue, like, you know, just like an acute virus or a cold or something, they respond super, super well. But for those that like respond super well, the patients that have had like long COVID or even Lyme patients that are kind of stuck sometimes with like their traditional therapies, because the cool thing about light is it penetrates through the organisms without the biofilm involvement. So like sometimes like if you're on antibiotics or even they don't penetrate into the cell of the bacteria very well, but light just goes right through. So you're able to influence the, you know, microbes faster, knock down the microbe levels a little bit faster. So yes, there's a wide variation. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's patient dependent, but like people do notice some changes. Like it's a game changer in the realm of people dealing with chronic illnesses.
What kind of, with stem cells, why did you decide with umbilical cord donor instead of, have you ever worked with other types of stem cells?
Have training on the bone marrow aspiration. I've just never implemented it. Kind of a few things that held me back is I had, you know, some patients that have seen doctors that, you know, they use their bone marrow stem cells and did like Elan treatments and were overcharged and they didn't get better. And so, I mean, it's like there's some patients that would benefit versus others. And there's also the convenience and ease. Like I don't have the facility to do actual like adipose stem cells, like a liposuction. So I, you know, I don't really utilize that. And the umbilical cord tissue is really simple and easy to use. And it's like a broad spectrum. It covers a lot of things. But I know there's benefits for each of those. But personally, it's just, you know, based on my practice and my preference, I prefer them just because there's ease of use for the patients, for one. And actually, the results are pretty dramatic as well, too.
Are you using expanded stem cells or are these just donor?
No. Okay. Yeah, just donor. In the U.S., it's not legal to use expanded stem cells. So if you're outside the U.S., you probably can't. But here...
People don't know. Like, people, you know, I've done interviews on stem cells. I know a lot of people who do, you know, use stem cells in their practice. So it's like a very common thing for us to know this information, but I feel like a lot of people still do not understand. Yeah. Like, they're thinking, how are stem cells legal in the US? I thought I have to go, you know, to a different country.
Yeah.
So they are, you just, if they're expanded, then you have to go to outside the US.
Outside of the US, yeah. So in the US, it's like the FDA has not actually approved the stem cell for very many conditions. So technically, if someone's interested in using stem cells, they're just technically using it, on their own just for particular health conditions, but not for a diagnosis or treatment for a particular issue. That's kind of where the marketing comes with the use of stem cells. So we can't say we're treating any particular issues with it. We're just helping your overall, body maybe respond to something better.
Has all of your patients been like, wow, I feel so much better after stem cells?
Let's say majority of them, yes. I mean, there's some that really don't, but those are like rare. But yeah, I'd say like almost everybody does feel something. It may sometimes take more than one, but yeah, there's some really significant changes that we've had over the years of people like being wheelchair bound and be able to kind of get up and walk around and do things again after a treatment or a few treatments.
So amazing. Have you done stem cells?
Yeah, I try to get myself treated at least once or a couple times a year, just try to maintain my youthfulness for the long
Yeah,
haul.
I think stem cells and exosomes are going to be so common, in the upcoming years. Right now, it's very,
Yeah.
not well known, and they're very healing. And I think we're seeing a lot of great things come from it. So I think a lot of people should think about doing stem cells maybe or looking into it before they decide to do some surgeries,
Oh,
and
yeah,
maybe
definitely.
before. So what about your longevity people that are coming in and saying like, hey, I want to optimize my body. What do you do? Do you give them some NAD, some peptides? What is your
Yeah.
longevity optimized stack?
So we start off with like labs. So a lot of the biomarkers are helpful to kind of assess what they're dealing with, if there are any, insufficiencies or metabolic, changes that can be addressed. So like the low-hanging fruit is, trying addressing their hormones if they have any hormone deficiencies or nutritional deficiencies. But what I also like to look into is like if they have any burden of hidden infections, toxicity, heavy metals, mold, chemicals, because those, if they're in the system, you may not have any symptoms, but they will not help your aging very much. They're going to accelerate some of their aging. So those are the things I like to look for because those can be addressed. If you need to detox or clear out, heavy metals or do some antimicrobial treatments to bring down the load, then your immune system is going to be less burdened, which then will slow down the aging, rate of aging. So then, adding in peptides are always great too. So like growth hormone peptides are super excellent. Recommending, resistance training exercises, obviously those are great. And then the NAD is commonly something that we use, and in fact we enhance it with a laser too. So there's really cool things that you can actually use less NAD, enhance it by the laser, and get kind of the double the effects. So you just get more bang for your buck.
To see this laser,
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm about to go get
yeah.
an RIV, and I'm like, now I need
It's
help.
cool stuff. Oh, well, essentially, like the mitochondria are light sensitive. There's actually receptors for light in the mitochondria. So if you can upregulate the production of ATP via light, then you get more energy for your cells to do whatever they need to do. So there's a lot of cool things that you can do. I mean, people already know about red light, which works on one pathway of the ATP chain, but there's other frequencies of light that work on the other pathways too. So it's really really neat stuff. And then we work on like senolytics as well too. So I like rapamycin, or I use like personally use a Qualia product. This is Qualia senolytic. Yeah,
All
I
right.
know. I saw your post earlier, so that's cool. Like, yeah, put a plug in for that one too. I mean, honestly, it sounds good on paper. I'm just taking it. I have I'm doing some age biological age testing for me to validate some of this stuff. So I've done quite a few of them to kind of compare and get mixed results with a few of them. But yeah, so we do offer like different biological age testing, so we can actually validate what we're doing. Because honestly, then you're just kind of guessing and going by how you're feeling. So that's where it's neat. I don't know, have you familiar with any of the biological age testing, or have you interviewed any of these people for these yet?
Well, I'm going to interview Jen, but he's with Genfinity for NAD testing.
Okay.
And I need to, I know the founder, so the glycanage, the TruAge,
Yeah,
everything.
yeah,
It's a
yeah.
very interesting subject because the biological age it's you know, I also did function health, so it's like sometimes your, you know, your bio, they base it off of all your lab work. So everyone's kind of doing this a little different, and it's all over the place too. Like some people are like, I'm 20 years younger. I'm, you know, and so and I'm like, you don't look 20. Like, you know.
So you kind of have to use different markers to assess, like the blood testing, all the biomarkers like function health or like this, like the standard labs that we're using. They kind of give you a snapshot more or less like right now, which is helpful. So if there's anything off, you want to make sure that they're at least stabilized. But for like the long-term ones, I've actually done the GlycanAge a few times, and I've done it serially enough so I can see that things are changing. But I've also done TruAge, and then the newer one I'm doing is the Generation Health, which is I like that one, but I have to retest myself to see if things are actually changing. Yes, either stem cells or exosomes or all the other stuff I'm doing. But it's nice that this is kind of a newish realm to play around with. But then we'll have actually tools to validate like all of the actual therapies that we're doing.
So as you like, are you testing after you do stem cells, and does it decrease like your biological age 5, 10 years?
I haven't done it that quickly, although I've talked to a few practitioners, and yes, it actually does kind of slow down the aging or slow it reduce it by anywhere from like a few months to even a couple of years, depending on the patient. Or the thing is, like when you put in cells in the body, they're gonna home in on whatever low hanging fruit there is, so it'll try to address those things first. And so those things could be the rate, like limiting the rate of aging for you or making you age faster than others. So sometimes people get a dramatic decrease in their age by, 5, 10 years, versus some will only get it down like, a couple of months. It just depends on which organs have the most priority in that case. So that's the thing is, if you're doing stem cells once, you can see some changes, but if you get to do it, if you can afford to do it regularly over time, then you are able to finally fix a lot of it. And that's when you'll start really seeing the most benefit.
Yeah, I think most people don't have that opportunity to do them a few times a year. They're like, okay, once, you know, $10,000 or so. So.
It really depends on the cost right now. Like, for us, we don't charge that much. I mean, we range from as low as like 1600 to like 7000, maybe a little bit more depending on what we're going. So we try to keep it on the more, price efficient range for patients so they can still somewhat afford it. I mean, you could buy a new car for 20, 30,000, or you can buy a new body for 20, 30,000. So if you do, a few of these treatments, you might actually be able to turn around the body quite a bit. So, so it just depends on people's priorities, for healthcare and their lifestyle choices as well too. The problem is like health insurance is such a demand on people's incomes where, like you're actually not getting that much value for some of the money you're paying for health insurance, but you're not using it or you don't get the benefit from it. So it would be better, spent if you save the money for stem cells to do periodically.
Yeah, I would love if insurance would cover stem cells.
Well, I
Regenerative
mean, yeah, no,
medicine.
that would be the best. But for starters, like health savings accounts can be a good way to kind of start for people to put money aside. That's pre-tax for that they can actually save some money in there.
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of people are now starting to use that a lot. It's very helpful for people. You know, even Callie Means has TrueMed, and he works with a lot of companies with the HSA and SA.
So that
Well,
is a good deal, yeah.
so anything else that's coming up? Do you ever, I'm curious, do you work with any gene therapy? I know like that's the new upcoming regenerative.
I'm trying to educate myself on that. Like I've used follistatin myself personally, but as far as the gene editing or gene therapies, I haven't gone into that yet. So that will be next on the list of many things to do. Because you are influencing the body, that way, it's probably a little faster. So yes, it's on my radar, but I haven't yet implemented it. But going back to things that are kind of unique and new that we're doing, one of the most profound things I've seen in my clinic in this past year is the use of CBD and CBD broad spectrum, so different cannabinoids in an IV form. So it's pretty darn, unique. Because most, CBD that you'll get is usually an oil base, which you can't really put in an IV. And the absorption of that is hit or miss, because most of it's like lipophilic, it's not water soluble, where some blood is mostly water based. So when you get this form, like it's actually micronized, it's actually even smaller than micronized, it's actually in a pico size, which is even lower than nano size. So they're super, super tiny molecules. So when they're put in the IV, they can literally spread throughout your system and start influencing different things. But what I've seen the most benefit for it so far is the use in chronic infections. So little known fact, although some people may know, is that CBD does have natural antimicrobial properties. It can be used for antibacterial, antifungal, antiparasitic, possibly even antiviral. So when you're getting an IV of this, like it's like a natural anti-everything that doesn't harm your existing cells very much, or actually not even at all, but it actually directly kills off a lot of these microbes in the system. So you can actually lower the threshold and burden of different infections in the body that you may or may not know you have. So it's really remarkable stuff. We've used it for patients that have like chronic Lyme or mold, or just like, you know, respiratory, you know, infections or asthma or chronic GI issues, ulcerative colitis, stuff like that. It's really interesting because you get the benefit of the CBD, which is, you know, relaxing the nervous system, you know, inflammatory. You're actually getting a whole unknown territory that is very, very effective at like killing things that shouldn't be there.
So anyone out there, you know, I guess you have THC. I'm not really great with cannabis. CBD and then the cannabinoids.
So there's other cannabinoids. So like we all know about CBD, a lot of, you know, they're the most popular one, but there's like different cannabinoids that are in the whole plant. So there's like CBC, CBG, CBN. And then the THC, which people definitely know about. So the version that we're using has no THC, so it's not psychoactive. So you're not going to get high from it. So these are all the non-psychoactive components. But CBD is probably the one most well known, and it has all the, you know, benefits that and help with like inflammation or sleep, anxiety. In this case, all science properties. When you have the blend of the other cannabinoids, it serves as a synergistic approach. So just like when you eat, you know, the whole organ, you're getting all the nutrients and everything inside versus just for individual, like, you know, vitamins or something. So with, you know, the cannabinoids, you're actually getting a lot of balancing effects on the system.
Is it synthetic or is it coming from the plant?
It's naturally derived. Yeah, treated right now. Yeah.
So interesting. So you're doing IVs of this.
Yeah, it's super interesting. The cool thing about it is it can be applicable for nearly everybody, because there's another part of the body called the endocannabinoid system. So it's like your own communication flow for your brain, nerves, cells, immune system. And so when you go through different stressors, you may run out of these, you know, signals. So when you're getting an IV of these, you actually get immediate signals that can turn on different functions that just might have been dormant or, you know, slowed down, you know, from whatever else you've been through in life. So it's super interesting, besides just the killing that we talk about, but you're actually turning on functions that people didn't know, you know.
This is so interesting. I mean, if you probably think about, I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, was that when they were saying, like, there's no connection to the gut brain, or, you know, here we are now trying to optimize opening these areas in our cells and optimizing the cells with lasers and cannabinoids and, you know, methylene blue. I was just going to ask, are you stacking that maybe with this? Because I know methylene blue is
We stack a lot of things whenever we can. It's just, there's so much synergy involved. And even like the CBD I mentioned, you can pair with the laser. So, because CBD is also photodynamic too, so you can actually enhance the function of cannabinoids with light too. And some of the more like aggressive protocols will use like silver with methylene blue, ozone, artemisinin, for example, which is a antiviral, antiparasitic herb, and then CBD and then laser on top of all those things. So there's a lot of possible stacks that you can do, because everything kind of feeds off each other. So there's a lot of variations that we can play.
Do you see a lot of patients with viruses? Is that kind of one of the main factors in patients, that they have a virus and it's stagnant and you need to like get it out of their system?
We do see a lot of patients that have viral issues. Usually viruses don't come about alone though. So that's kind of where, you know, people might hear about like Epstein-Barr and then, you know, yeah, shingles or herpes and stuff. Viruses are unfortunately part of our system. They're never going to leave automatically. So they can embed themselves into our DNA or our cells. So the thing is, when viruses become rampant is usually when the immune system is overwhelmed, or there's other things that are deflecting your immune system away from their attention. So this could be just, you know, emotional stress or, you know, physical stress, or infections from other things like Lyme or mold or parasites or other things that can have an influence there. So viruses, if they're causing symptoms, we definitely treat them. So like the laser is an excellent tool for eradicating viruses. The problem is it may not eradicate 100% because they're still part of our system, and you can get down to notch within the immune system. Yeah, the most popular, you know, IV treatment that we do for viruses is the combination of riboflavin, methylene blue, ozone, silver, and the actual laser. For example, like the riboflavin is actually one of the best ways of neutralizing viruses, because the viruses uptake the riboflavin into their structures. So your cells also take riboflavin in, but you actually have a cell wall to protect the cell, but viruses don't have it. But riboflavin is very sensitive to UV and blue light. So UV, we already know, it inactivates viruses. But when you're actually forcing UV light into the viral structure, they're absorbing more light than they can handle. So they're just getting destroyed. They're just inactivating, breaking down viral particles that go by contact with light. It's super effective, but bring down viral loads, you know, in a very short amount of time.
So interesting. There's just so much that's going on in this field that it's so cool, yeah, that we're getting down to like the cellular level of how to heal.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people's immune systems are lowered with all the toxins and the chemicals and everything. So it's like, I think that's a big part of why people are having so many issues. And I've seen a lot of the times too, where like viruses are dormant or something, traumatic kind of triggers. And then now you have all these issues, like something, you know, a stressful relationship or, you know, your health, something, and that kind of like triggers everything to come out, you know?
So it's a full circle. Like I like the neural therapy, you know, because you can reset the autonomic nervous system so that it has the ability for your body to have influence on the immune system so that you can actually start defending yourself again. So even if you have these stressors in life, if you can tolerate the stress, then you can actually, you know, fight and detox or whatever. You have all the benefits that occur if you have a quicker switch to calm your system down.
Yeah. What do you think of psychedelics like ketamine therapy?
I use them a lot on patients. Yeah. You know, the cool thing about it is, you know, they help influence the mind, and the mind is like one of the big control centers for the rest of the body. So if your operating system is dysfunctional, it's hard to make a body work good when your brain is not, you know, on the same page. I definitely use ketamine. I like to pair it with oxytocin, so it has like a synergistic effect. But you know, we typically, I prescribe like nasal ketamine as well as the troches, as a way to kind of allow the brain a chance to either reset or process, you know, emotions that they may not have been able to before from a different lens. And then, you know, mushrooms, I'm a big fan of too. And I do recommend, you know, patients to do either microdosing or heroic dosing, depending on where they're at in their life. But it's very, you know, powerful when you pair it with these autonomic resets. Or I also recommend like limbic system retraining, because, you know, you have to help try to rewire the way your brain processes things. And then, where I use the ketamine or the mushrooms in that picture is, you know, when you're doing limbic system retraining, you're actually, you know, trying to tell your brain a new story of things. And, you know, sometimes it's some of these stories that you've been through in life, they're hardwired into your memory banks of the limbic system. Limbic system is kind of like the ancient brain that helps to remember all the good and bad things. But if you're traumatized and it's stuck there, the ketamine and the mushrooms can like loosen that glue up a little bit. So it allows you to be a little more receptive to change or to new thoughts or new ideas. And allows you to maybe relearn some of these things. So it's basically a very helpful tool to allow your brain to kind of unstuck whatever thought patterns you might have.
I've heard it's very beneficial for people, and I think kind of resetting like our brains, neuroplasticity, is that what it
Yeah,
is?
neuroplasticity, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. So it facilitates a level of neuroplasticity in the brain. So it's excellent, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have no idea about all these things that we can do to like reset the nervous system,
Yeah.
pain management, or injuries. So
Yeah.
everyone, there's just so much more you could do. There's a lot now, light therapy and
Yeah.
cannabinoid. We're doing all the IVs. We're injecting.
Yeah.
What are we gonna
Yeah.
inject next?
Who knows? I mean, the future like is growing, and we have so many cool tools. I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff out the pipeline here.
Yeah, we're just gonna be full of someone else's umbilical cord DNA. Anyway, but yeah, this was so great. So much is going on in this field, and so you're based in Pasadena. So can
Yeah.
people come and see you, and or just call the office and book
Yeah.
consultation?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Do you do any online, like do you do one-on-one consultations just like
Yeah.
remote?
So
Okay.
we do remote, for people that can't physically come to us, but all the, I say those fancy, sexy therapies are in office if they can. But of course, like, we can, help people with their treatment plans, or kind of help them diagnose or address some of their hidden stuff through a virtual approach here.
Awesome. And then
Yeah.
because this is the Biohacker Bondi podcast, I always ask my guests three biohacks
Yeah.
they love and they maybe use daily.
Yeah. So going to the laser, I use the laser watch, which is a portable version of the IV laser device. So it has red, infrared, green, yellow, blue frequencies that are on your watch or on the wrist. So it accesses like the local blood vessels there. So I try to wear it every day. On top of taking methylene blue, so you get photoactivation of that, which improves oxygenation. So that's kind of like a daily tool. I
Wait,
can't tell if it works,
what is this watch? What is the brand?
it's called Endolite, or EndoWatch. It's from the same company, Weber, that makes the Endo laser, which is the IV laser system. But it's a portable version, so it's really relatively accessible. I use another like device called the Kineon, which you may have seen Ben Greenfield, like he wears around the neck. So it has like red and infrared light. So I wear around the neck for the vagus nerve activation whenever I'm doing. So I just stack there as I walk to work. So I just have that going on. So that's kind of my typical thing. And then I practice intermittent fasting regularly. So I'm not sure that's true biohack anymore, because people just do it regularly. But I don't eat lunch until like 1. Just also because I'm busy, but it works well for me to have like intermittent fasting. And then like kind of in the biohacking realm, I have been dabbling in the realm of like the GLP-1 peptides, myself, just to help, manage inflammation and just moderate my own, metabolism too.
Yeah, I think so many
Yeah.
people. The more I realize how most people are not doing these biohacks. Most people are not doing this regenerative medicine. Most people are not doing
Yeah.
peptides. But all
Yeah.
the functional medicine doctors and us people in this space are using peptides, but we're only
Yeah.
like 1 to 5%. So
Yeah, yeah.
it's crazy because peptides are so healing too, and I
Definitely.
wish most people would get more into it. It's a quick injection. It's a very small needle.
Yeah.
It's like it seems so scary, but anyone out there,
Yeah.
it's you know, and
It
it's
really moves the needle for patients I've seen, like,
yeah.
have been struggling with so many things. It addresses so many things, so that's why I'm a big fan of it. And myself too, I don't have any health issues, which is great, but I try to prevent those. And that's one of the tools, amongst many, other peptides I use. Like, there's so many things I play around with.
Yeah, I think we're all just switching out peptides here and
Yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, thank you so much for coming on the
Of course,
podcast.
Jenny.
And so thank you for taking the time out of your day. I really appreciate it.
I hope you'll enjoy this deep dive into the future of medicine and discover some actual takeaways to support your own health journey. If you found today's episode helpful, please subscribe to the Biohacker Body podcast and leave a review on your favorite platform. Your support means the world to me, as it allows us to bring you more valuable content and continue to grow this community. Thank you for being a part of this journey. And remember, it's never too early to start biohacking your way to better health. Until next time, stay curious, stay healthy, and keep biohacking.